Welcome to the America Magazine podcast. America Magazine is the national Catholic weekly. Visit us online at www.americamagazine.org.
Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast for the week of March 31st. I'm excited to have with us this week Martin Doblmeyer, a filmmaker who has a film coming out on PBS. Welcome, Martin.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Tim.
The film we're going to be discussing is The Power of Forgiveness, which is going to be aired on various PBS stations over the next few weeks. Martin, maybe you can just introduce the film for us and tell us how it came about.
Well, the film, The Power of Forgiveness, is a series of seven short stories that I hope speak both to personal acts of forgiveness and to larger group community acts of forgiveness. The whole thing started out a number of years ago. I was invited by a dear friend to go down to Atlanta, Georgia for a conference that was happening where people who were doing research in the area of forgiveness, scientific research, were presenting their papers and the results of their research. And because my own background is in religion, all the films that we've done over the years are on topics of religion, I had a sense of what forgiveness meant within the religious context from the scriptural texts and from the traditions of the faiths. But now to see that the scientific community, especially the medical science community, was getting behind forgiveness, seeing forgiveness as a positive in our lives, then I saw this now for the first time, this confluence of these two worlds, the religion world and the health science world, coming together around the topic of forgiveness. And that's what launched us almost immediately into the idea of doing a major film about this, a documentary film about this.
Now, as you mentioned, that you explore in this film, you have seven different storylines, but you explore some instances of just individual one-on-one forgiveness, but also the notion of corporate forgiveness, you know, how do nations atone for sins? Maybe you can talk about those two elements.
You know, most people relate to forgiveness on a personal level. I've done 24 films. I've never done a film where people come to the topic with as much predetermined feelings already in place as I have with this film on forgiveness, because all of us have come through some sense of being hurt or of hurt others, all of us. And so we're all dealing on a personal level with forgiveness. But if it's the same for individuals, it's going to be the same for larger groups, these communities. And so one of the things that we wanted to do in the course of the film was integrate the idea of community, sense of forgiveness. So we did a story on the Amish. We have, I think, really an important story with Elie Wiesel, who is the famous Holocaust survivor who wrote the book and won the Nobel Prize for Peace in the mid-80s. He wrote the book Night and is one of the most articulate spokespeople for how to remember the Holocaust. But I think for Jews, this is the ultimate moment and question about forgiveness. And we have Thich Nhat Hanh in the film, who's, I think, just a brilliant Buddhist master talking about forgiveness from a Buddhist perspective. So there's larger group sense of forgiveness, but there's also those individual stories. And I was hoping that the balance between those two things, the sort of the larger group sense of forgiveness and the smaller personal sense of forgiveness, would give people a sense both of how to relate to it on an individual level, but also to see how it might apply in the larger corporate sense.
Now, you mentioned the Jewish community and the question of the Holocaust. Another country people that you deal with is the Irish and Northern Ireland. Since the Good Friday Accords of 1998, there has been some progress in relationships between Catholics and Protestants. And it's gotten to a point where the schools have gotten involved. Maybe you can talk about that.
I did a film back in the mid-90s called Grounds for Peace. It was a national PBS special about a community known as Corrie Mila in Northern Ireland that's working to bring the Catholic community and the Protestant community together. It's still doing that work. It's important peace work to do. But there's something new going on afoot now in Northern Ireland, and particularly in the school systems in Belfast. An American psychologist, his name is Bob Enright, and his wife, Jeanette. American psychologist and his wife have created curriculums for teaching forgiveness. And he wanted to try it out in a real conflict situation, and they brought it to Belfast to use these conflict teachings in the school system. Now, it wasn't just to teach about, a fourth or fifth grade kid about how to resolve the issues, the sectarian violence between Catholics and Protestants. They thought the better thing to do was to actually teach forgiveness in terms of what those kids, third, fourth, fifth grade, were actually dealing with in their own lives. So how do they relate to their brothers and sisters? How do they relate to the kids on the schoolyard playground? And if they can teach them, they felt, if they can teach them how to think in terms of letting go of anger, not retaliating, not feeling as though you have to retaliate with everything, maybe you can begin to foster within a whole generation down the line a sense of letting go of some of the history of pain and suffering. This is all about how you remember the hurts that you felt. And so they're not looking for their teachings to be a quick fix to the problems of Northern Ireland. Their hope is that maybe in a generation, you know, 20, 25 years down the line, that what's been taught to these kids now in the school systems in a formal way will actually bear fruit in bringing about a more lasting peace for Northern Ireland.
Yes, it's a neat part of the film where you see these young children sitting with their teacher and being taught, for example, they have to put on these glasses and see the world through someone else's eyes and try to imagine what it would be like to be another person. So that's a big part of this, is this kind of role playing.
Yeah, it's both good television to watch the little kids there. Yeah. put the glass. They have very colorful glasses. They say, okay, now remember an incident, remember a time that you've been hurt. And one kid in the film talks about how her sister hurt her and she was really angry about that. And then after a little more talking, a little bit more counseling, and this is all in a group setting. This is the entire fifth grade class was all sitting around doing this all at once. The child puts on the glasses, these sort of green, sort of neon green colored glasses. They're called forgiveness glasses. And now to see the situation through a totally different paradigm, and immediately when she's asked the question, now how do you see your sister who's hurt you? Well, I see that she's always there for me. The idea of seeing the other person in a new way, to look with new eyes into the situation, this is one of the small devices that they're doing to try and figure out a way to get people to make that turn and to see people in a very different way. This is fundamental, too. It's a Catholic and Protestant issue in Northern Ireland, but the idea of seeing the other person and what they have gone through that caused them, that prompted them to create, to do that transgression to you, that's very central to the Buddhist thinking, the idea of compassion for the other person, to look at the other person who's hurt you, to understand how they might have been a victim of their own family situation, or their own work situation, their own cultural situation. And as a result of that, lashed out at you. And the moment you begin to have that sense of compassion, Thich Nhat Hanh says in the film, it's only when compassion comes into play that you can even begin to talk about forgiveness. You can't talk about forgiveness before that.
Now, an interesting question raised by Thomas More, who's one of the people you interview in the film, a spiritual author, a very popular writer. Now, he argues that you should not rush to forgive, that it has to come naturally. And then if you try to force it, things are not going to work out. That's an interesting perspective.
Yeah, I was with Tom yesterday. You know, we have a book that's coming out based on the film, and Tom and I were on a panel for C-SPAN yesterday, and it was a chance to sort of connect again. And I think Tom is absolutely brilliant, and when we had the chance to do this film, he was one of the people that I wanted to go to. But Tom represents in that statement one position on forgiveness. And that is, I think, by and large, a position that most people would hold, that forgiveness, getting to forgiveness is a process, that if you don't really feel it, you shouldn't be offering forgiveness. There's no such thing in the Bonhoeffer metaphor as cheap forgiveness. You can't be really doing it that way. But also, too, in the film, we have the story of the Amish. And the Amish didn't wait the weekend before they went out and extended forgiveness. Why? Because they felt as though that was what the Gospels were calling them to do, that God was calling them, and God's love for them and God's forgiveness for them and for who they were called to go and extend the same sense of forgiveness to the family of the man who killed their children. And I think there's really been a case that's gotten, a forgiveness story that's gotten so much publicity as that one. We wanted to include it in the film because it had two reasons. Number one was because it was that sense of feeling called, and that forgiveness was a decision, and you made the decision at that very moment. You didn't wait to go through a process of healing and waiting till you felt as though you could extend forgiveness. God calls you to forgive, God forgives you, and then you extend the forgiveness. But the other component that I thought was really interesting about the Amish situation is that we're a nation now of 300 million people. We really do feel, in our own way, very isolated and very alone. And when we're hurt, we feel as though we're all alone in our response to the hurt. The Amish extended the forgiveness to the family of Charles Roberts, who had killed their children. They extended the forgiveness as a community. And they wanted to say that we as a community offer this forgiveness, and we want to support each other in having made this act of forgiveness. So the parents of those who lost their children felt a sense that we're not responding out of being alone and in isolation. We have a community that can hold us together. We can make this really, I think, heroic, courageous decision to forgive because we have the communal sense and the communal foundation behind us.
Now, as Americans, the closest event we can look to in terms of a traumatic event that we're still trying to deal with is 9/11. And that's an event that you address in the film. How has 9/11 affected Americans and their notions of forgiveness?
Well, I think if, you know, we wanted to do the film about include Northern Ireland. We wanted to include the situation for Jews in the Holocaust. Those were paradigm moments in those cultures. What's the paradigm moment for our culture, I think, in the 21st century? It's clearly 9/11. It's really reshaped everything that's happened in the beginning of our new century, from the way that we make decisions about economy and what's going to happen with our resources to security. I think really fundamentally to how we look at each other. As human beings, this level of suspicion that we have with each other. When I wanted to do the story, I wanted to include 9/11, not just to simply include it, but to say, is there a way that we can actually inject the word forgiveness into this moment, this 9/11 moment? And what we came upon was a man, a priest, an Episcopal priest, down by Ground Zero, who was working at St. Paul's Chapel, the historic church right next to the World Trade Center. And now, as a result of the changes that will happen to that space that is Ground Zero, he's trying to forge the idea of building a garden of forgiveness somewhere associated with the Ground Zero site. It probably will never happen. The anger level, the resentment about what has happened to us, the feeling of being offended as a nation is so deep that he's not getting much traction with the idea of injecting forgiveness, the word forgiveness, into the conversation about 9/11. I'll give you a little objective moment about this. Back in September, when we knew we were coming out with this film, we decided to post the entire interview that I had done with that priest, Lyndon Harris, on our website. And he clearly says in the interview that this is not, you know, building a garden of forgiveness at Ground Zero is not necessarily about forgiving the terrorist who did this. It's not about that. But it's about creating a space in a nationally important area and creating a space where you can actually think in terms of forgiveness in your own life, in your own community, as a nation, to put the word forgiveness here into the mix of 9/11. So we put the entire context of the interview on our website. The Journey Films website. Next to it, we put a sidebar. It said, how do you feel about the idea of a garden of forgiveness at Ground Zero? Do you support the idea or not? Over the next 10 days, we got 6,000 hits on the website. And of those 6,000 hits, it broke down pretty clearly, 97% to 3. 97% of the people said, no garden of forgiveness at Ground Zero, only 3. So it's pretty clear to me that forgiveness is the kind of thing that we want other people to extend. We want other people to, we admire other people. We admire the Amish for having done what they did. We admire the people in Northern Ireland for doing what they do. But when it comes to our own moment, we're far away from wanting to use the word forgiveness anywhere near the 9/11 tragedy.
Yet you were able to find in your film, and you profile a few women who lost loved ones in 9/11 who support this idea.
They do, and they lost loved ones. There are two women in the film who lost their sons and one woman who lost her husband. And they have not only supported the idea of a garden of forgiveness here in New York, but the idea of this garden of forgiveness is actually modeled after a garden that's really farther along in Beirut, Lebanon. Beirut is a country that's really torn apart, and they need a garden of healing, of forgiveness. And the women who support the garden here in New York actually went on a pilgrimage to Beirut to be with women over there. And that's what you see in the film, the sort of the extension of going over to Beirut to support what's happening in Beirut and also to be able to bring back some renewed energy about the idea and the possibility of building a garden here in New York.
Now let's go back to the idea of what science can teach us about forgiveness. This is an intriguing part of your film. You, for example, profile a doctor who does physical evaluations of people and ask them about stressful moments in their lives, and when they talk about grudges, for example, or things they've been unable to forgive, their blood pressure goes up. So there are physical manifestations of this issue.
Yeah, that's really what's been the most interesting thing. You know, we're a self-help generation. We want to sort of improve the quality of our lives. We do. All you have to do is go into the bookstore and you see all the books about, you know, slimming down and living a better life and everything like that. And I think that's part of the attraction now, because there is absolutely concrete, objectified evidence that says that forgiveness is good for your health. They said about in 1998, I think it was, they said that there were about 50 studies on forgiveness, health and scientific studies being done. By 2005, nearly 1,000. So the growth in studying in a defined scientific way, the benefits, the aspects of forgiveness for our health, have just exploded. There are people now that are doing brainwave testing and all different kinds of testing. But there's no question that time and time again, whether it's in this country or outside of the U.S., that when they measure forgiveness, it seems to reduce your blood pressure, it reduces your heart rate. People who are chronically depressed, it seems to be able to help with the depression. Breathing, you know, cardio-respiratory diseases seem to have some level of progress. All these things. Now, what's interesting is it's not quite sure. I mean, it can't really be tested, or they haven't done the test yet. Maybe that's safer to say. To see whether or not a forgiving type of person tends to be healthier, or whether or not the act of forgiving can actually make you healthy. That's not quite, they haven't quite gotten to the level of breaking the studies apart that much. But what was really clear is they said that people who come into the laboratory to be tested, if their end score says that they're a pretty forgiving person, interestingly enough, when they go back to look at their vital signs, when they first came into the lab, they tend to actually, a forgiving person tends to be a person whose blood pressure seems to be lower, their heart rate is lower to begin with. So they just say basically a forgiving type of person seems to have already a step forward in the quality of life.
Yeah, one of the interesting points made was that sometimes they would interview somebody and ask them about a moment where they had difficulty forgiving, and they had a list of examples ready to go. Other people had to search a bit and think a bit, and that was the more forgiving personality, people who just sort of dropped it and didn't remember.
And we all know who we are in terms of that. I mean, we're all, we're moving at a very fast pace in this country. We're all sort of cranked up. We've all got so much going. But the truth of the matter is we all know, I think, in our hearts, whether or not we're a person who's quick to feel offended. I think we know that. And I think what they're saying with these studies is that people who seem to be a little slower to offend, feeling hurt, to being offended with anything that happens, whether or not you get cut off. You know, we all get, driving a car, you get cut off on the highway. And now how do you respond to that? If you immediately feel violated and you're angry, you may not qualify as what they would call a forgiving person. But they say, by and large, people who don't think that they're constantly being offended actually might be taking a step forward into living a better quality of life.
Now, another interesting question that's raised in the film is, how does self-forgiveness relate to how you go about forgiving other people? And it's pretty important.
Yeah, I would have to say people are always asking, what's the one thing that you learned about forgiveness as you were in the process of making the film? And I would have to say, I have a background in religion. I studied religion, and I could probably quote chapter and verse in terms of, you know, the Gospels and the sacred texts talking about forgiveness. But I hadn't really thought about it at a deeper level and at a multifaceted level until this process began of making this film. One of the things that became apparent to me is how central the role of self-forgiveness really is. And I think sometimes what I would observe with the best people, you know, genuinely good people had the hardest time forgiving themselves for things that they had done or failed to do. And when we started to look and take seriously this aspect of self-forgiveness, it was very interesting to see how many times self-forgiveness played some role in every one of the stories that we had identified. I think there was an aspect of self-forgiveness, or the inability to forgive himself, that prompted Charles Roberts to go into that schoolhouse in Nickel Mines and shoot those Amish girls. And time again, there was some nuanced aspect of the inability to forgive yourself for what you did. Thich Nhat Hanh says one of the things that we have to do as people is we have to learn to take responsibility over our own anger. We all get angry, and I think in the world that we live, it's just natural. But we all have an obligation to take some sense of responsibility so that anger isn't taken out into others and unfortunately unleashed on others in a reckless and careless way. I've been invited now to speak at a lot of different colleges, and one of the colleges was Virginia Tech. And I was down at Virginia Tech not too long ago to present the film and to talk to parents. And there you had Cho, the young man who was a Virginia Tech student, and he unleashed his anger and frustration on 32 others and killed them there that day. And young people in particular on college campuses, there was just out in Chicago to show the film and lead a conversation in Chicago, Northern Illinois University. Same thing happened. Half a dozen kids were killed in a shootout out there. That whole sense of young people, especially now, feeling as though they have to be held responsible for holding in their own anger, and they vent that anger out on others, and sometimes the outcome of that is tragic.
Now, one of the interesting points in the film that's made more than once is that forgiving someone is important, not just for the person, but for yourself too, because if you hold on to these things, as you suggest, they can really fester and cause all sorts of problems.
Yeah, I think one of the things I wanted to do intentionally in the film was to have a lot of points in the film that contradict each other. There are many people in the film, there's several lines people will say, well, you know, I get angry at God. Others will say, no, we don't get angry at God. We hold our anger back from God. A lot of people would say that forgiveness you do for yourself because it's good for you. Other people will talk about the altruistic aspect of forgiveness, that it's good for that other person. I think that's really where the fundamental difference in the breakdown is between the scientific approach and the religious approach. There's no question that forgiveness is good for you, but ultimately it's good for number one. It may have residual benefits for other people if you're able to, you know, to let your anger go and not lash your anger out on other people. Certainly that's an important thing. But I think the faith traditions don't necessarily talk about forgiveness as something that's good for the body and good for you, but that it actually has a communal effect, that forgiving the other person for what they have done to you actually reverberates not only through their own lives, through their souls, but actually can reverberate throughout the community. You can actually transform people's lives by forgiving them, and I think ultimately that is the power of forgiveness.
Well, the film again is The Power of Forgiveness. Now, if folks want to look it up to watch it on PBS, they can go to your website.
Yeah, the website is www.journeyfilms.com, JourneyFilms, journeyfilms.com. And there's a page on the film that'll get you to the broadcast dates around the country.
Now, we should say that on PBS, they will be showing an hour version of this documentary. But if you want the full 78 minutes, you can buy it on DVD.
It is available on DVD. It's a whole 78 minutes of it. All the stories are there, plus added bonus features.
And that on Amazon and your website, you can pick that up.
Yes, and we have the book, too. There's a book that's been written by a brilliant writer. His name is Ken Briggs. He was the New York Times religion editor for many years, and he saw a cut of the film and has written a really wonderful book. He was able to take the themes of the film that we were able to surface. You know, people are always saying, well, you must have been able to do all these wonderful interviews, and much of it winds up on the edit room floor. Well, this time we actually, with working with Ken, were able to find ways that we could incorporate other themes that we could never get into the film. But because the book now is several hundred pages, we have, you know, we're able to go into the subject matter at a deeper level, and I think it's all the better for it.
We also should mention that Martin Doblmeier is the director of Bonhoeffer, a film about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, which came out in 2003 and is also available on DVD. Well, Martin, thanks so much for joining us, and maybe when you do your next film, you can come back in.
It'd be an honor to do that, Tim. Thank you.
I want to thank you again for joining us for this week's edition of the America Magazine podcast. We want to wish all of you a happy Easter and hope that you were able to reflect a bit on the season with America's special Easter issue featuring articles by Gerald O. Collins, among others. Also want to remind you that you can respond to our podcast at americamagazine.podbean.com under the comments section. This is Tim Reedy for America Magazine.